Amen. I tell you what, man, Lord, that's over here trying to play this piano, man. The Lord is getting all over me, and I can't just quit playing. But when I get done, I just want to do, like Brother Dan said, do a backflip. Listen, man, when we get to heaven, you know, it's going to be all glory. You ever looked at a gold ring up under a light, how beautiful it shines? And it's 24 karat, brother. We're going to walk on perfect, pure gold streets. And you realize the light that shines on it is going to be Jesus, right? We're going to be in glory. And I'm telling you what, there won't be no holding back up yonder. But occasionally, we'll get a little glory down here. You know what I mean? Lord, just let a little glory shine in on this little dark place, you know? And it's good, man. I'm telling you, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade my life for nobody's. Amen. God's good. I love Him, Lord. I love the Lord this morning.
That's right.
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen. I believe that this morning. He'll be enough. He's brought me through too many times for me to doubt him now. All right, let's move on here. Get your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 this morning. I want to give you a thought. I was thinking about Veterans Day and our men who have served our country and thought about being a soldier. And we're soldiers in the Lord's army. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to look with me, if you will, beginning with verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and beginning with verse number 1. I want to say something right here, but this ain't got nothing to do with the message, but we're a family here at Shining Light Baptist Church, and family, you should help each other. Anytime that you have something you need done something you want to, like if you need something special done, you have to get somebody in the church, know somebody that does that kind of work, help it. Keep it in the family here if you can, help each other. And I hardly ever say anything like that, but it's a good idea to help your church family. If you need a car or something, tell me and I'll announce it. If you want to sell one, tell me and I'll announce it. And you never know. Maybe somebody, right? Families help each other. And so I just thought I'd mention that, especially in the holidays coming up here. But anyway, here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 1. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, it says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Look at this. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now stop there a second. I'm going to read more. The Christian life is not always easy. Paul told Timothy, endure hardness. Sometimes there's things we have to go through that's hard, people. It was never meant for us just to be on easy street all the time. God never intended for us to have, you know, the old song, never promised you a rose garden. God never promised us it'd be easy. He promised us he'd be with us through our troubles. Verse 4, look at this. No man that warreth, war, brother, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I want to preach on our being in a war for God. I done a little research, just a little bit, not much, on Veterans Day and where it come from. And how it got started. And because of that, I got to looking this week, and I looked in my books, my illustration books and stuff, and I found out some amazing facts about war. There's always been wars in this world. There always will be wars in this world. Ever since Cain knocked Abel's brains out, they've been war, somebody fighting somebody in this world. As a matter of fact, somebody figured this up. In almost 6,000 years of human history, there have been 14,531 recorded wars. More than 2.5 per year in 6,000 years of recorded history. In the last 3,500 years of history, there have only been 227 years of peace and 3,200 years of war. The ratio of war to peace is 13-1. That means 13 times to one time you got people killing each other, people fighting, people slaughtering, blowing up buildings, bombs, bloodshed. This world has been a bloody mess. There have been 8,000 peace treaties signed in this world, and most of them don't last even 2 years. No peace. No peace. There'll be no peace on this earth till the Prince of Peace comes and sits on the throne. And until then, as you've heard, the war will be held in an auditorium in case it's raining. Like that one fellow said, he said, I got married 7 years ago by the Justice of the Peace. He said, I've been married 7 years and ain't had no justice or peace. That's the way this world is. That's the way this world is. There ain't been no peace on this earth. Now, they started back in 1918 on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. That'd be tomorrow. 11th month, 11th hour, 11th day of November. And they called a ceasefire with allies and Germany and those other countries. And you know what they said back in 1918? They said, this is the war to end all wars. This is the war to end all wars. It didn't happen, did it? There's more wars been fought probably this century than maybe any other century since then. Every time they say we're on the verge of peace, about 100 new wars take place during that time. They started out calling it Armistice Day, A-R-M-I-S, like the Army. Armistice Day. And in 1938, they began to call it Veterans Day. And in 1954, our president then made it official holiday, 11th of November, Veterans Day. Now, the Bible says that we are a soldier in the Lord's army. Yeah. Every boy, every girl, every man and woman in here today is supposed to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. That little old bus kid's down there, Randy Kibitz, saying, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Now, listen to the words of songs in days gone by. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Listen, that's a far cry from the Christianity we see in our day and time. You really don't see many people like soldiers in an army. The Bible said, cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. I have about half you people in here this morning. I love you. I love you to death. But there's about half of y'all in here this morning that's scared to even use your sword at work. You're terrified somebody might look at you funny. In other countries, they killed them. They persecuted them. They told them about Jesus Christ, took their stand. I tell you, taking a stand for Jesus Christ in this world is what a soldier is supposed to do. We're a soldier in the armies of God. We're not called to win popularity contests. Lord, if they voted me citizen of the county, I'd ask God to forgive me for being backslid. We're not supposed to be appreciated by this world. We're not even on our territory. We're on enemy territory. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Amen. Do you think Christian celebrities now, think about these Christian celebrities and a lot of these preachers you see on TV, do they look and act and talk like they're fighting a war? We are in a non-militaristic society. They say, we've got to get rid of that old militaristic Christianity. Well, according to the Bible, we're not. You know what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 9:26? So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. 1 Corinthians 7:5, with outward fightings, within are fears. We fight, we fight. You know what 1 Timothy 6:12 said? Fight, the good fight of faith. That don't fit in with our modern day Christianity. Remember this old song? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. What happened to them kind of song? I'll guarantee you turn on a contemporary gospel music station, you'll hear nothing about when the battle's over, we'll wear a crown. They're wearing it now. They think we're reigning now. Those TV preachers get on radio all the time and say, we're taking back what Satan stole. He's laid up the wealth of for the wicked, for the just, and we're going to inherit and we're going to tread on serpents. And all. No, we're not. We're not reigning now. We're reigning in the millennium with Christ. We are in a fight now, brother. We are in a fight and we're outnumbered. And the only way we know we're going to win is that if God be for us, then who can be against us? Amen. I'll guarantee you, brother, Paul went out with the night and the day in the deep. He was put in jail. He was in death. Paul didn't arrive in a 30-foot limousine and stay in a 5-star hotel. I mean, there's nothing wrong with treating God's man. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes Paul got blessings. But I'm telling you, he didn't live this lavish lifestyle of these evangelists and pastors that we do now. He wasn't a celebrity. A night and a day he spent in the deep. Brother, he stayed in jail. He got beat. They beat him with rocks one time and left him for dead. And they finally killed him for his ministry. I'm saying to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get our boots shined up, take our sword of the Spirit, put our helmet on, our breastplate of faith, our righteousness, and put it on and get in the battle for God. Some of you need to get in the battle. You're AWOL on God this morning. Amen. The word fight is in the Bible over and over and over and over. 1 Samuel 25 verse 28 said, fight the battles of the Lord. A man asked me the other day, I was in the hospital visiting, and this man asked me, he said, preacher, I want to ask you something. Do you believe all them numbers over there in the Old Testament? What do you think about that? All them people, they'd have a battle and 25,000 die. They'd have another battle and 85,000 die. They'd have another battle and 19,000. I said, I believe it literally. I believe those were real people and they really did die. He said, why is that? Because I said, because the Old Testament, basically, the theme of the Old Testament is kingdom. And who's going to run who? And who's fighting who? And who's winning? What battles are won? That's why all those kings on earth, they fought battles. They fought battles. And in 1 Samuel chapter 25, God said, fight the battles of the Lord. Now the reason, listen to me, the reason God put all them battles back in the Old Testament is because the battles that they fought literally, you and I fight spiritually today. We're up against the multitude. We're up against a wicked society. We're up against, and we fight spiritual. The weapons of our warfare are not spiritual, are not literal. They are spiritual. We don't fight the Lord's battles with guns and knives and swords. We fight it with prayer and Bible and preaching and witnessing and standing for the Lord. That's the battle that you and I are in. Amen. We sure are. We are in a, like I said, a non-militaristic society atmosphere. We're in this some kind of mushy, feel good, I'm okay, you're okay. Somebody told me about a church the other day, and they said, every service, before they dismiss, the little pastor comes and he says, now does everybody feel good? Now does everybody feel good? Now does everybody feel good? And before you go, you have to say, yes, we want everybody to feel good. And I'm gonna tell you, that is not our mission. I mean, you should, everybody in here shouldn't feel good. You should feel terrible sometimes. Amen? If you're not right with God, you shouldn't be feeling good. You should be miserable. I'm telling you this morning, we're in a battle. This is not a feel-good mission. Brother, this is a battle. Let me say a few things about that battle. They said that no man, are you listening, is entitled to the blessings of freedom unless he is vigilant in its preservation. You know who said that? General MacArthur. He said, no man is entitled to the blessings of freedom unless he is vigilant in its preservation. What does that mean for us rednecks? That means if a man ain't willing to fight to keep our freedom, he don't deserve it. That's what that means. And I tell you what, we've taken for blessing, God's blessings for granted so long in this nation that we're raising a generation that don't even believe in fighting to preserve our freedom. We don't deserve God's blessing. Here's one. Let me give you this quote. I think it from General Patton. Listen to this one from General Patton. Success is how high you bounce when you hit the bottom. Success is how high you bounce when you hit the bottom. When you hit the ground and lose it and you bounce back high, that's how your success is. Lead me, you know what General Patton said? He said, lead me, follow me, or get out of my way. Amen. That's good preaching. He said, lead me, follow me, or get out of my way. He said, I ain't got time to fool with people that won't do nothing. He said, lead me, take me somewhere, or follow me where I'm going, or get out of my way, because I'm coming through. Somebody said this. Said a young man who does not have, listening boys, a young man who does not have what it takes to serve in the military probably don't have what it takes to make a good living for his family either. All men are timid on entering a battle, a fight. Cowards are the ones who let their timidity get the better of them. What does that mean? That means anybody going into a fight, a prize fighter, is a little bit nervous if he's got any sense. A lot of these guys are saying, I ain't a bit scared. You're getting ready to get your brains knocked out. That's right. Somehow clean your clock. Bow! Like that right there. Every man going into a fight, a real fight, and they ain't got referees and stuff out there in foxholes. They don't have rules to go by. But it's just fight to the death. And you're nervous because you know man's got a gun. He's trying to kill you. You're trying to kill them. You say, one man said this. He said, our goal in the army is not to give our life for our country. Our goal is to make our enemies give their life for their country. Is that right? And brother, we're not in this thing just to say, all right, we're going to witness, and if they don't get saved, our job is to get them to leave their sins, come to God, leave their lifestyle, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I like, this is a little modern one, but you'll recognize it. I think it's Lee Greenwood or somebody. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died. They gave that right to me. You don't hear these modern day, I mean, check these songs out that's coming out now on contemporary Christian radio and see how many of them say fight and see how many of them were in a war. You can listen to that music and tell we ain't in no war. You know what war music sounds like? Sounds like this. That's what they play at football games. They don't play when the football team comes running out like that. They don't play this. Oh, let's win tonight. Let's win tonight. Well, you can't play football in a mess like that. I mean, brother, listen, I'm telling you, we need a militaristic church that'll stand. The church triumphant. The church that'll march. Listen, I'm talking about going out of here and going to your job tomorrow and going to school tomorrow and say, I am a soldier in the Lord's army. You say, well, I want him to like me. I do too, but I'd rather have his blessings on my life than for that crowd. They don't care about you no way. As soon as you walk out of the room, they all talk about you. Say, how you know? Because y'all talk about the other one when they walk out of the room. Did you know, if your hope's in our government, you're in trouble? I ain't fussing right now, but since Obama took office, our president, and I'd say it no matter who's the president, have we done better or worse? Unemployment's up to over 8.5%, and that's just the one that still signs up for it. It's really about 12, maybe 15. There's over 1 million more people out of a job and a whole bunch more coming. Food stamp recipients have gone up 50%. When he took office, gas was $1.85 a gallon. $1.85. Funny how we forget so quick. Now it's $3.39 average. Everything's went up. United States in the competitive world was number one. We are now fifth. Poverty level's gone up 6 million. Our national debt has gone from 10 trillion to 15 million. That's over a high, again, as much as it was from history till now, to when he came in office. And the weird thing about it is your house, everything's got doubled in price, but your house was worth $169,000. That's average, most buyers ain't. $169,000 in this country, and now it's worth $140-something. Did you notice when you got your taxes this year, your taxes went down on you? I seen mine, I thought, my house ain't worth but that now. It's worth a third less than it used to. All over Florida, I preach down there, there's people bought $300,000 houses, and they owed $250 on them, and the bottom fell out, and now their house appraises for $150, and they owe $250 on them. They call that being upside down. They just give it back to the bank and let them have it. I'm telling you, brother, listen, it's time that we stood up and got in the Lord's army. We need to get in the Lord's army. Old General MacArthur said, I see in my mind's eye the murky foxholes, the stench of ghostly trenches, the shine slime of dripping dugouts, and the honor of horror of stricken acres and areas of war. He said they sogged ankle deep through the mire of shell-packed roads for the attack, and many of them went to meet God. They said there's one place over in Russia where it said Napoleon Bonaparte. You ever heard of him, Napoleon? He said there's a sign like going into Russia. It's got this sign on this and another sign on the other side. They said when you march into Russia, it says Napoleon marched this way with 114,000 men. And you do your visit and everything, and you come back this way, and it said Napoleon marched this way with 9,000 men. All them others got killed. And I like the old song. I'm sure Brother Jason remembers it. We used to sing it a lot. It said, old Danny Chapel and him used to sing, "I'm going to die on the battlefield. I'm going to die in war." Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something this morning. I ain't trying to talk big or nothing like that, but I had rather die for something that will eventually triumph than to live in something and win than something that's eventually going to fail. I'd rather die in the Lord's army knowing that it's going to triumph one day after a while than to be a triumphant in this world knowing it's going to lose after a while. Three things right quick and I'll let you go. Right quick, I'm just going to say them. First, we got to fight with our flesh. Your biggest fight is your flesh. And if you don't fight your flesh, you're not going to be much of an effective Christian for God. You have to fight your flesh. I'm going to be so glad. He's talking about them gold streets and everything. I'm going to be so glad. I'll bet I'll be more glad when I get to heaven over not having to fight this flesh than I will be to walk on gold streets. I've fought it since I was 18 years old. The Bible puts it like this. The Bible said in Romans 7:23, He said, "I see another law in my members." That's your hands, your feet, your eyes, your mind, warring against the laws of my mind. Every day of your life, you fight with your flesh. Some people evidently, I don't know what they do, but they evidently don't have a fight with their flesh. But I'm telling you, brother, you're learning that there's something in you. Don't you feel your flesh wanting to go the wrong way sometimes? And you say, "No, I'm not going to do it." And your flesh wants to lay down. Your flesh wants to be lazy. Your flesh don't want to read the Bible. Your flesh don't want to pray. Your flesh don't want to fast. Your flesh don't want to witness. Your flesh don't want to do something for God. You fight it. I don't just naturally get up here and preach. I don't just naturally have these illustrations. And he's saying, I fight my flesh every day. And the part of the war we're in is fighting this old flesh right here. Yeah. Buddy, I fought my flesh so much. Sometimes I want to say, "I hate you. I'm going to kill you one of these days." If you ain't never had that conversation with yourself, you've never really been in a battle for the Lord. Your biggest member and war is your flesh. That's why Paul said, "I die daily." The flesh wants one way, the spirit wants another way. I'm telling you what, I've got down before and I said, "God, get that out of my heart. God, get that sin out of my head. God, get it out of..." You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I've never done that." I don't know. You're either found some secret the rest of us ain't found, or you're messed up or lost or a hypocrite or something. Because every Christian that I know, you know what old Martin Luther did one time? Martin Luther was in the study one time, and he was a holy man of God. And brother, he said, "The devil's in there so strong, he picked up an ink bottle and threw it up against the wall and threw it at the devil." He said, the devil come to him one time and said, "Well, look at all the sins you've committed." He said, he looked back at the devil, he couldn't see him, but he's talking to the devil's talking to him, and he said, "Well, I guess you're perfect, old smutty face." Now, you ain't supposed to talk to the devil like that, but I'm just, that's how real the devil was to them old men back then. Let me tell you, folks, you're going to have to fight your flesh. If you let your flesh do whatever it wants to, you are in trouble. Not only with God, but with your spouse, with your children, with the law, and with and everybody. Listen, you cannot just let this. And that's what's wrong with people. They say, "Well, I want me, and God wants me happy, and God, I deserve it." I'm getting so sick and tired of people. I got a bunch of nice texts for my birthday and phone calls, and people sent my girls, because I don't have notebook, and people sent all kinds. They sent them to me. I'm telling you, people I don't even know on there because of my running and stuff. And there's, oh, Brother Danny, Brother Danny, this, Brother Danny. And somebody kept sending stuff like, you deserve it, you deserve it, you deserve it. I don't know where we get this attitude of we deserve something wonderful. I got texts that said, you deserve the best birthday ever. You deserve the best. And the whole time I said, don't say that. Don't say that. Listen, you want me to tell you what you deserve? Everybody in here deserves to be in hell with no hope, paying for our sins. Brother, we ought to thank God He's given us an opportunity to serve in His army. Quit telling yourself you deserve special treatment and you're great and you're wonderful and you're so great and wonderful. Everybody says, well, you deserve to be happy. You deserve to be happy. Everybody deserves to be happy. You show me that in the Bible and I'll give you $100 cash. Yep. Right. You know what God wants you? He wants you holy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right,
He wants you holy. You got to fight with your flesh. I go in the store and I don't even realize it. 5 miles down the road, there's a song playing in my head. Man, I fight that stuff. I've been saved since I was 18, and I fight music all the time. Those kids look at me and say, well, Brother Danny, you don't... I do, too. I can hear a song in there, and 5 miles down the road, I'm singing this wicked song. I'm going to preach, brother. I'm on my way to the house of God. Singing some crazy, wicked song. And I say, no. And I do that running, too. Man, especially when I do one of them rock. You know, I was going down the road the other day. I said, from the depths of hell, so far I fell. I thought, what deal made with the devil? I said, well, I'm crazy. Why give preaching on stupid stuff like that? And I'm saying, God, get that out of my mind. Get it out of my mind. Okay, I'm all right. No. From the depths of hell. Get that out of my mind, Lord. Lord, get that out of my mind. You say, well, I don't do that. You don't fight it. If you don't fight it and you allow it, God will judge you for it. You got to fight it. I got these certain songs that I use to fight them bad songs out of my head. You know why? We're an army. We're an army. We're a soldier. And so I say, I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Hallelujah. Got the victory. From the depths of hell. Oh, I have been blessed. God's so good to me. I'm running out.
Man.
Let me tell you something, brother. I make up my mind. I see some of you going like this. You know why? Because you try to fight it. I see some of you going like, what's he talking about? You know why? You just let the devil put anything he wants to in your hand. Yeah. Brother, it's a fight. Amen. You got to fight for your right to stay right. You do. I'm just being real with you this morning, brother. We won't go into other temptations that all you wicked people have. Not me. I'm a preacher. People say, Brother Danny, listen, I'm made out of the same old rotten stuff you are. You have to fight to keep your heart right with God and your thoughts right with God. It's hitting about it in Sunday school. It does matter what you think about. Because what you think about, you eventually going to do. You got to fight. You got to fight for the faith, secondly. Fight for the faith. Means we pray. We get a hold of God. Pray. Keep praying. Some of you said, boy, I was really going to pray and nothing happened, so I just gave up. You're AWOL. Get back and fight! George Mueller was a great prayer warrior of the 19th century. And George Mueller prayed for five friends. Five friends. And one of them got saved after 5 years of praying. And he prayed 10 years and two more got saved. And he prayed 25 years and the fourth one got saved. And he died in 1898 and one of them still wasn't saved. But about 5 months after he got saved, that last old boy got saved. You want me to tell you what's wrong with some of y'all? You give up too easy. You give up too easy. You let stuff knock you out. You let stuff discourage you. You let stuff... Listen, this is war. This ain't spiritual romper room. My Lord, people. People say, well, I got my feelings hurt. And at work, I had a bumper sticker. Or I took a stand. And I know so-and-so got that promotion. And I didn't get it. Well, this is war. You're not going to hell. Quit crying.
Amen.
If they won't sit with you at work, sit by yourself and honor Jesus and do right. Listen, if they won't be friends with you at school, if you never get asked out on a date, stand for Jesus Christ if they all go the other way.
Amen.
You'd be better off. You'd be better off to not have no friends and say a deal made with the devil. Amen. Prayer is deathless. That means when you pray, God answers your prayers after you're done, dead and gone. And then I will say, fight to the finish, and I'm done. Heard a guy the other day said this. He said, when the battle of Armageddon comes, right will be all that's left. Think about that. Ain't that good? Right will be all that's left. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. I can't imagine. I get up every morning. I like what old Dr. Ruckman says. He said he gets up every morning, looks in the mirror and says, all right, what are you up to now? You know what he's saying? His flesh. You know who your biggest enemy is? That guy whose face you shave every morning. That's your enemy. That's your enemy. Paul said when he died, he said, I'm ready to meet him. I read about this woman. And she almost had big parts of the New Testament memorized. And one of her favorite verses was 2 Timothy 1:12, for he says, I know in him whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You know that verse? And she said that all the time. And as she got older, she got dementia and Alzheimer's. And she started forgetting all of them verses, or a lot of them. And she got to where all she could say was, what I have committed unto him. And they'd go back and see her and she'd say, what I've committed unto him. And finally she got worse and worse and worse, and finally she just started saying, committed to him. And then finally they said, they'd go visit her and her lips would be moving to him. And all she could say is, him. Him. That old girl stayed with him right on to the end. No matter what happens, no matter how bad of a deal you think you've got, no matter how unfair you think life has treated you, that's where you get in trouble, starting thinking about yourself. You stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I stand by our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning.